It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today. We are going to spend the next half an hour together talking with some world-renowned scientists from the MDI Biological Laboratory. If you're a regular listener, you know that they've been on before and are always a wealth of information. And the main goal is to keep you healthier, longer, living longer. And today we're talking about unlocking our regenerative power, nature's regeneration drug. My guests are Dr. Kevin Strange. He is the president of the MDI Biological Laboratory. He's an internationally recognized biomedical scientist, scientific leader, entrepreneur, and pioneer in the discovery and development of drugs for regenerative medicine. His research has been funded for more than 25 years by the National Institutes of Health, a site I visit often, Department of Defense, and numerous private foundations. Dr. Strange is known for leading by example and doing what's best, no matter the odds or expectations. Very impressive. And Dr. Vut Yen, he's assistant professor at the MDI Biological Laboratory. He's internationally recognized as an expert in regenerative medicine and biology, and has extensive expertise in heart and limb regeneration. He developed the adult zebrafish model as a novel platform to screen for small molecules that activate tissue repair and regenerative processes. Dr. Yin's research has been funded by the National Institutes of Health as well, the American Heart Association, and the Department of Defense. The MDI Biological Laboratory, if you don't know, is pioneering new approaches to regenerative medicine focused on developing drugs that slow age-related degenerative diseases and activate our natural ability to heal. For more information on them, log on to mdibl.org. But there's more. So Dr. Strange will deliver the President's Distinguished Lecture on July 18th. The subject will be what we're talking about today, so if you'd like to hear more, go to that. It's being held at the MDI Biolab, and you can get there at the same website, mdibl.org/events. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So here's a sobering thought. Every 40 seconds, someone in the United States has a heart attack. So for decades, scientists have been defeated in their attempts to find a treatment that effectively reverses the life-threatening damage caused by heart attacks, because they're very damaging. But now, the scientists at Novo Biosciences, which you have developed or founded, have identified the first and only drug candidate, MSI-1436, that stimulates a damaged heart to repair itself. So that's pretty impressive bionic woman stuff. Let's, first of all, tell me about the Novo Biosciences. What is this?
Novo is a biotech company. It was a company that Vut and I founded in 2013 after the discovery of MSI-1436. If you want to take a molecule that you've discovered in a laboratory and try to move it into patient trials and eventually, hopefully, get FDA approval, you've really got to do that through a company because you have to seek investment and investors want a return on their investment. So sort of a standard NIH grant sort of approach is not going to work. So we founded the company to really develop the molecule.
It's not just a scientist in a lab anymore trying to do the right thing. It's really become very corporate to get the funding to do
well,
that.
Well, business, absolutely. I mean, again, an investor wants to make a return.
Sure.
That's what they're interested in.
Sure. So you are doing this. How did you discover MSI-1436, and what is it?
Well, I'll start, and then I'll let Vut take over. MSI-1436 is actually a natural molecule. It was originally isolated from dogfish sharks right out here in wherever we are, Frenchman Bay, by Mount Desert Island. It was isolated by a guy by the name of Michael Zasloff, who's our partner. And he was really interested in compounds that might have natural antibiotic abilities. So he discovered a group of about a dozen of these compounds, and as he started to study them, he recognized they had all kinds of very interesting different biological properties. MSI 1436 was originally being tested as an appetite control drug and as a drug to treat type 2 diabetes. So it's already been into early patient trials and shown to be quite safe. And Michael called me up out of the blue one day and was all excited about an observation he had made years before on dolphins that have this remarkable healing and regenerative ability. And he just started speculating maybe these natural antibiotic compounds might stimulate regeneration. And like all of us, including Michael, we thought the idea was crazy, but I thought it was worth trying, and I went to Voet. So I'll let Voet take it from there.
Take it, Voet.
Yeah, so so one of the things that guide what we do in the lab is really this general principle that nature has really sort of optimized a lot of biological processes, and regeneration is no different. So one of the things that we do in the lab is we actually use the zebrafish as a model of an animal system that regenerates really well. So that really provides us with the opportunity to not only identify genetic circuits that allow these processes to occur, but we can use it as a platform to screen for molecules like MSI-1436 in the hopes of finding a compound that actually speeds the rate at which regeneration occurs. So you can imagine if you can identify such a compound in a system like the zebrafish, the general principle would be to take the compound and to try to activate processes and circuits that may be dormant in a mammalian system. And in so doing, we can stimulate the natural regenerative circuits that we all share, actually. So that's how MSI-1436 was originally identified.
So is it the goal to make this maybe a pill that someone would take if they've had a heart attack and it would just repair that heart muscle?
Well, it won't ever be a pill just because of the nature of the molecule, so it would have to be some sort of an infusion, like an IV, a dilute infusion, like you take a chemotherapeutic maybe. But yes, that is what we're really focused on right now because we have really – and one of the things I always like to say, if your mouse, if your pet mouse is at a heart attack, you come and see me. I know I can fix your pet mouse. What we don't know yet, whether this will work in humans, and quite frankly, a lot of things that work well in an animal model don't translate well into humans. So we're a long ways from that right now. We're testing this in a pig model, which is really the closest you can get to a human heart attack and how a human heart attack might be treated.
But it looks promising enough for you to go forward and try to research it even more.
Extremely promising. We were just talking about it on the way down here or up here today, and the thing, when you start a company, it is a slow, brutal, very difficult process. We've never had a setback. Everything has continued to point us forward. So the data continued to be very encouraging. It could all change, but right now everything keeps us pointed going forward.
I think it's also important to keep in mind that, you know, nature has never really created something that's rather unique for one system. So The findings that we've identified in a fish that we've shown to be effective in a mouse model of a heart attack, well, those same circuits we all have in each one of our cells. And really the big problem with regeneration is that those circuits, for reasons that we don't understand yet, fail to be activated. And that's the beautiful thing about identifying a compound like MSI is that it serves as that trigger to activate circuits, the same circuits that we've seen in other model systems to augment the limited regenerative abilities. So in that way, we're really confident that this molecule could have tremendous impact for human health.
So we may be able to respond the same way that a zebrafish would to certain conditions if you can isolate this and make it safe for humans. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to think that we have all the genetic machinery that a zebrafish needs to regenerate. We have that same genetic machinery. A mouse, an adult mouse, if it has a heart attack or you induce a heart attack experimentally, they normally don't have them by themselves, if they have a heart attack, they won't regenerate that heart muscle. But we've been able to turn it on with this small molecule. So that tells us that all the machinery, again, just like in the zebrafish, is in the mouse. We know a lot about the genes that are involved in this. We have the same exact genes, the same genetic machinery. So there is every reason to believe that this hopefully will work in humans. We also know, for example, that young human infants, if they have a heart attack, which is loss of blood flow to the heart, and they survive it, their hearts will be pretty normal by the time they reach 4 or 5 years old. If you have a heart attack and you survive it, your heart is permanently damaged. It will never repair. So that machinery is there, but it gets turned. We think it gets turned off as we age, and so our goal is to turn it back on when we need it.
So when the mouse has the heart attack and you infuse with MSI 1436, is it like they have a new heart, like it never happened, or like a baby?
No, I mean, it's what we're seeing is that. Well, let me take a step back. When we induce a heart attack in a mouse, it's the same type of injury that a human would have.
It makes me sad, too, but just thinking about inducing heart attacks in mice. But go ahead.
Yeah, so there's really three major things that happen. So the first is you have this dramatic loss of heart function. So that's pretty apparent. At a more detailed level, you get what's called a scar or scar tissue. And this is, in essence, a cellular patch, if you will. And in the beginning, a scar is a fantastic thing because it helps preserve function. But in the long term, a scar is a very rigid structure. So because of its rigidity, it doesn't allow the heart to contract and relax like it normally did. The third element is that the heart doesn't have the ability to create new heart muscle. So you really have the combination of the scar tissue and the inability to create new muscle that ultimately leads to heart failure or loss of heart function. What MSI does is it actually augments both of these processes in a mouse. So it reduces the amount of that bad scar tissue, and it also leads to the formation of new heart muscle. So the combination of these two events do two things. It increases heart function or induces recovery of heart function, and it also allows the injured mice to survive a lot better than the vehicle treatment.
Just fascinating. When we come back, we will talk more about this. If you'd like to hear this show again, log on to WVOMFM.com and listen to it in podcast form. Much more to come. Stay with us. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. Fascinating information. So when we left, we were discussing how this MSI 1436 really changes the heart muscle of a mouse after you've sadly induced a heart attack into the mouse. And so it's very promising. What is your strategy for bringing this to the market through your company?
Mm-hmm. So we were fortunate last September to receive what's called an SBIR grant, Small Business Innovation Research, from the NIH, $1.5 million. And what we're using that now is to test the drug in a pig heart attack model. Pig heart is remarkably similar to the human heart in all aspects. And you can really mimic the whole treatment of a heart attack in a pig just like you do in a human. So we're looking to see if it works in that model. We're really just starting those studies now. We'll know in about a year and a half or so. And if that proves to be effective, what we would then do is go to the FDA and say, okay, what else do you need to see from us before we move this into humans? They'll probably want more toxicology testing. And then we're going to have to raise a lot of money to go and do studies in humans. You go through three clinical trials in humans, phase 1, 2, and 3. Phase 1 is really to test for safety, again, in probably a person who's had a heart attack. Those are going to cost $5 to $7 million easily. And then you go into phase 2, which is about 100-150 patients of people who've had a heart attack, and then to actually see if it works. And those are going to cost somewhere between $20 to $25 million. And if it works there, we would then want to go to a pharmaceutical company, and hopefully by that point in time they would license it from us and go into phase 3, which is hundreds of millions of dollars and a lot of hard work. And then they would seek FDA approval if it works, and then that's how it would be developed and eventually make it to the market.
Staggering numbers, to be sure.
Staggering, absolutely.
It occurred to me about timing. So if you get to the point of when you get to the point of doing these trials and you'll be studying people who have had a heart attack, does it matter when they've had a heart attack? Will this drug work on someone with a fresh heart attack or a recent heart attack as opposed to someone who had it 10 years ago?
Well, right now all of our data point to the early injury is when we would administer it, and it's probably the smartest thing to do right now. just the way we do the trials is somebody who's had a heart attack in the previous 12 or 24 hours is when we start treating.
Oh, that soon?
That soon, yeah. As soon as they're stabilized and, again, there's a lot of complications of doing clinical trials. You want to really know what the patient's background is and all kinds of other things before you admit them. But that would be the approach. So it's expensive and, you know, if everything works out, you're probably talking 7 to 8 to 10 years before this kind of a drug could, if it works, could be approved.
Do you think that it would be appropriate for someone who has had a heart attack a number of years ago so that their heart could be in better shape, they would live longer, and the risk of having a second heart attack would be reduced?
I'll let Bud answer that one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think one of the things that we want to test is actually the ability of a drug like MSI to actually stimulate heart function after heart failure has actually already set in. We don't have those data yet, but we think that it could be potentially promising by activating similar mechanisms that we're seeing get activated right after a heart attack in these animal models.
While it seems like a lot of money in the greater scheme of things, though, if it's preventing people from having a second, third heart attack, that would save money in the long run because that's not cheap, having a heart attack or open heart surgery. And so ultimately, the end result would be that this is worth every penny. So sure. If you have $1 billion and you're listening.
Yeah. Well, you know, heart attack in the U.S. alone is about $200 billion a year cost. So it's huge, and that's just in the U.S. alone. So it's an enormous cost associated with it.
So the cost to get this up and running is actually less than what it costs in 5 years of people, way less in even 2 years of people having heart attacks just in this country.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Well, that should be enough incentive for someone who has $1 billion.
I hope they would do, yeah.
When we come back, we will talk much more about this with our world-renowned scientists. So stay with us. Again, don't miss Dr. Strange's President's Distinguished Lecture on Wednesday, July 18th, right at the MDI Biological Lab. It proves to be very interesting. So stay with us. We'll be right back right after this. Lots more to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. Fascinating developments happening at the MDI Biological Laboratory in Bar Harbor. So, Dr. Yin, there are several other potential applications for this drug. Do you anticipate that it has the potential to be used in a wide range of medicine applications?
Yeah, we do. We've actually tested it in a number of different contexts to show in a variety of different model systems, and it's really promising. One that we're really encouraged about is actually the treatment or the potential treatment of muscular dystrophy, or more specifically, Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. So this is a disease where males are actually confined to wheelchairs by about age 13, primarily due to the lack of the skeletal muscle to repair itself. So it's under constant insult and degradation. Now, most of DMD patients will ultimately die at a really young age, at about 30, because they also suffer heart damage and they lose the ability to control their respiration. So we've actually have really encouraging data using a mouse model that says MSI can actually preserve loss of skeletal muscle in these animals. And moreover, what we're hoping to see is that the same mechanisms that we're activating after a heart attack are also going to be activated in these DMD models. So in that way, you can imagine how MSI can actually improve not only the regenerative properties, but also improve the quality of life and extend longevity for DMD patients. So that's an indication that we're really excited about moving forward.
So if someone is diagnosed with muscular dystrophy, you infuse them with this and then they just start regenerating their own skeletal structure. And how long does that take?
Well, what happens is your skeletal muscle normally regenerates quite well, except when you start to get a lot older. What happens in muscular dystrophy, you have a mutation. So the drug won't cure the disease. I want to emphasize that. Hopefully, it'll slow the symptoms and reduce the symptoms. But what happens is this mutation in a gene causes the muscle to constantly degenerate. And at the same time, it's trying to repair itself and regenerate. At some point, the damage that's done by this mutation is so great that regeneration can't keep pace with that. And then you start to really lose skeletal muscle function. As Wood said, they're in wheelchairs by about 13. They typically die around 30 years old. And what we're hoping to do is that we speed up regeneration and improve regeneration. You can actually slow these symptoms down because now the muscle can keep pace with the damage that's being caused by the mutation. That's the goal. So the goal would be to improve symptoms, extend quality of life, extend life even.
So would you say it's like a booster to your natural ability?
Absolutely. That's right. Absolutely. Again, your skeletal muscle has regenerative capabilities, and we're just stimulating those so they keep up with the damage, keep ahead of the damage, hopefully.
Are there any downsides to this? Have you experienced or noticed any side effects or contraindications of using this?
Well, so far we haven't. And again, what's important here for the listeners to understand, too, is what got us so excited about this molecule is it's a molecule that has already been through early-stage clinical trials. And to even get into a human clinical trial, you have to have masses of data. You have to go through all kinds of toxicology testing, which is what kills most drug candidates. And in the patients, it was shown to be quite well-tolerated by these patients at doses 50 times higher. 50 times higher than we're seeing effective in our animal models. So we seem to be well below the kind of safety and tolerability. So right now we haven't. That doesn't mean we're not going to as we learn more and we do more studies. But that in and of itself is hugely encouraging. It's one of the reasons we pursued this so aggressively.
So it takes much less to be effective than you've studied. So they're really... At this point, it doesn't look like there would be any indications. You would know by now, probably, if something big was going to result.
We haven't, again, just because you don't see
not
it
to
doesn't
pin you down,
mean,
but
no. Just because you don't, you know, the absence of evidence is not evidence for absence. But you know, we don't know until we've actually really studied it extensively. Right now, we're not seeing any problems. In fact, when I say we, he's done all the work, his laboratory and his folks with him, but. We don't see any effects on very sensitive processes like development. I mean, development is a really sensitive process. It gets disrupted by all kinds of things. You can give a developing zebrafish this molecule and it doesn't care. It develops completely normally. That's very, very encouraging.
So how do you see this regenerative biology influencing the practice of medicine as a whole?
But take that.
We're almost out of time, but tell me.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the idea of using small molecule to stimulate regeneration is actually at the leading edge of this field. As you know, a lot of effort has been focused on the use of stem cells, induced pluripotent stem cells, and there are many problems, many complications that come from that type of an approach. But the beautiful thing about using small molecules is that you can turn these effects off. So one of the downsides of having a real robust regenerative ability, of course, is the potential of many of those programs to go haywire, if you will. And with the use of a small molecule, we can administer it at the time of need, take it away when that need is no longer required. So I think that's going to change how we think about treatment of a lot of these degenerative diseases.
And that would be more protective, I would think, of a person because they're not getting it long term, longer than they need it.
Right.
They need it, you do it, you're done.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's the goal.
Dr. Strange, Dr. Yin, thank you so much for being here and joining me. This is fascinating information. And on behalf of all my senior listeners, thank you for the work you're doing to keep us all healthier and living longer. If you'd like to hear this show again, log on to WVOMFM.com and listen to it in podcast form. And don't forget, July 18th, Dr. Strange will be doing a lecture in Bar Harbor. That's it for me. Thanks for listening. This is Senior Talk.